Blog Talk Radio. strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand before the Lord. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against
And now, Voices of the True Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come from there after we bring the young lion in and tell all that he wants. Take number 11. Let the young lion do all the talking, and we'll run back and we'll piggyback off from that. He got a lot of stuff on the plate. Bring the young lion in to see what's going on. This is tape number 11. He's got so much information. There's just so much new information coming up daily. So what we'll do is bring the young lion in. He'll tell you all about the broadcast, and he'll also tell you about, you know, not a discovery, but discovery based upon what's out there in the Vatican City. He'll tell that. Historical documents, facts. And then he probably talks about, I need to really give me King James Linus. Who is he from? We need that too, young man. So you got a lot of men on the table. So Mother E and myself will just wrap back and bring you in, young man, and you just set the table and we'll go from there. So we meet the young lion with a loud voice. You say, young lion, Bo Mackay, up and coming, teach out of camp one. Yahweh beat you, see Roy.
Yahweh bless you there. Sit Israel. Oh, see Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, there, young lion. We know you got a lot on the plate. We want to hear a lot. We'll piggyback off of whatever you want. And when it's all said and done, I want to know a little bit more about King James and when it's all said and done. And I want to also know, what did he do? Did he write the King James Bible, or did he send able men to go get it from the descendants of Judah Perez? So all that, so you got a lot of minutes on the table. So I'm gonna bag up Mother E, and myself will just bag up and just let you stretch out a little bit. So y'all mind, take your time and bring whatever you want on the table and take your time with it, and then we'll piggyback off on that. Then the mother and myself will come on back in and help assist in tape number 11. You on the clock, come on.
All right. It was one thing I didn't hear you say, Sis, where you say it was something else we had needed. It was something else you had stated earlier about something of the name you had said, something we had needed. I didn't catch that part.
Well, you know, the other young line was showing you an article from the Historical Documents and Facts about the Vatican City. You found the article that you all was able to tell, and you said you told him to kind of make sure he shoot it to you. But you able to pull that off, or?
Well,
Take your time and bring out all that good stuff, and we'll
take it back from whatever you own. Take your time there, young lion. Come on. All right. Okay. Well, we got a few things going on. First and foremost, we want to say that we are broadcasting live everywhere on Pow Talk. We live on Blog Talk. You can catch us on Facebook at BOTTY Tribe. Matter of fact, catch us on Facebook at BOTTY. And you can catch us on YouTube at BOTTY Tribe, YHDA. So we broadcast on a lot of different networks right now. And just want to catch everybody, get them tuned and keep them posted. But right now what I'm going to do is I'm going to... We got to pull this article up, because there's an article, the one I have right now, it's a little bit blurry for me to pull all the way up. But it was something that one of the young lions had sent me earlier, pertaining to the Vatican City. Pertaining to the Vatican City and the use of the name. And it has, reading from an article from the Vatican City, the Vatican directive on the name of YHWA. It says on August 8, 2008, Bishop Arthur J. Soresley of Paterson, New Jersey, chairman of U.S. Bishops Committee on Divine Worship, announced a new Vatican directive regarding the use of the name of YHWH Yahweh on the sacred liturgy. Specifically, the word YHWH, so they have Yahweh right here, YHWH may no longer be used or pronounced in songs and prayers during liturgical celebration. The word is spelled liturgical celebration. This directly affects a few songs currently included in OCP's various missals and hymnals. Now, that's what I pulled up from the Young Lion, just piggybacking off a blog he had pulled up. That's what I have on the name right now. Now, let me see, can I get another article pulled up? Let me see what we got here. And yeah, I pulled up something out of the, I know you have pulled up something out of the images for the name of YHWH. And yeah, I pulled up a newspaper article. But right now, the one that I do have is not showing as clear. So let me see, can I find something else on this name? Okay. I'm going to read some historical facts as well about the Vatican City and see what we have here. It says, the Vatican seeks to eliminate the use of the divine name. And it says, a fragment of the Septuagint dating from the 1st century CE, the divine name represented by the four Semitic letters, commonly translated YHWH the circle. This is my name forever. Exodus 3:15. In 2009, from the Watchtower on April 1st, page 30. Let me read. The Catholic hierarchy is seeking to eliminate the use of the divine name in their church services. Last year, the Vatican Congregation for Divine Worship and Discipline of the Sacraments sent instructions on this matter to Catholic bishops, conferences worldwide. The step was taken by directive of the Pope. This announcement, dated June 29, 2008, decrees the fact that despite instructions to the contrary, in recent years, the practice has crept in of pronouncing the Yahweh of Israel's proper name, known as the Holy or Divine Tetragrammaton, written with four consonants of the Semitic alphabet in the form of YHWH. The document notes that the divine name has previously been rendered Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H, Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E, Yahweh, J-A-H-W-E-H, Yahweh, J-A-H-W-E, Jav, J-A-V-E, Yehovah, Yehovah, Y-E-H-O-V-A-H, and so forth. However, the Vatican directive seeks to reestablish the traditional Catholic tradition, that is to say, the Tetragrammaton is to be replaced by LORD Lord. Moreover, in Catholic religious services, hymns, and prayers, Yahweh's name, YHWH, is neither to be used or pronounced. So there we have it. We know the Vatican City is trying to keep the use of the name from being used. Let's pull up something else. Let me see what I have here. I have some more information pertaining to the Vatican City. And it says, Pope Benedict XVI officially banned the use of YHWH. It says, Vatican City, September 3rd, 2008, 5:30 a.m. The Hebrew Shemitic name for Yahweh, YHWH, is not to be used or pronounced in liturgical celebrations, songs, and prayers. So this has been hidden of all well. They also have some translation. Tradition has importance of understanding It has YHWH since the title LOID, in fact, becomes interchangeable between the YHWH of Israel, the Yahweh of Israel, and the Messiah, they said, of the Christian faith. It says, the Vatican has reiterated a directive that the name YHWH revealed in the Tetragrammaton, YHWH is not to be pronounced in Catholic ludigree, or in music. Catholics at worship should neither sing nor pronounce the name of G-O-D, as YHWH. The Vatican has said, citing the authority of the Jewish and Christian practices. There we have it. We have it all on the web. If someone want to go take the time and pull up the certain articles, you go find it all over the web about anything pertaining to using the name of YHWH. So we're coming to find out that they are the Catholic Church is one of the ones that have tried to ban us from using the name. And let me see if there's anything else that I can find out about this name that we can pull up. Because like I say, it's all across the internet. So there we have it. We got some information that came from, like I said, if you want to pull up the article, you can pull up the article about the Vatican, the one that he has sent. Matter of fact, I have the article right here now. It's another article that states, it says, this is the one he had pulled up. All right, and it reads, the Vatican forbids the use of G-O-D's name. This is coming from the Bakersfield, Californian Faith, Saturday, August 16, 2008, and it reads, by Francis X. Rocca, R-O-C-C-A, it says, the Vatican City, Catholics at worship should neither sing nor pronounce the name of G-O-D as Yahweh. Which we come to find out that we know that they gave us the name Yahweh because we read from another source. We read from the source that they gave the name Y-H-W-E-H. So they don't want you to pronounce the four letters Y-H-W-H. So the name of, let's say, G-O-D as Y-H-W-H. The Vatican has said, citing the authority of both Jewish and Christian practice, the instructions came in a June 29th letter to Catholic bishops conference around the world from the Vatican's top liturgical body, the Congregation for Divine Worship and the Sacraments, by an explicit directive of Pope Benedict the 16, I don't know which one it is, Pope Benedict the 17th, I think, or the 16th. In recent years, the practice has crept in of pronouncing the Yahweh of Israel's proper name. The letter noted, referring to the four consonant Semitic Tetragrammaton YHWH. That name is commonly pronounced as Yahweh through other versions, including Yahweh and Yehovah. But such pronunciation violates long-standing Jewish tradition. The Vatican remained bishop. As an expression of the infinite greatness and majesty of Yahweh, the name was held to be unpronounceable and hence was replaced during the reading in sacred scriptures by means of the use of an alternate name, Adonai, which means Lord, the congregation said. That practice continues with Christianity, the letter explains, recalling the church's tradition from the beginning that the sacred Tetragrammaton was never pronounced in the Christian context nor translated into any of the languages until the Bible was translated. Invoking a Vatican document from 2001, the congregation remained bishop that the name YHWH in Catholic worship should be replaced by the Latin Dominus, Lord, or a word equivalent in meaning in the local language. the Vatican move will require changes in number of hymns and prayers currently used in America's churches, but not to the mass itself, said the U.S. Bishop, Top L-I-T-U-R-G-I-C-A-L official. All right, over to you, Sid. Say hallelujah.
All right, hallelujah.
From
origin of King James and plus the 46 followers. But what he did, we'll talk about that later. We're going to bring our elder in. He's going to tell you, bring our elder in. So, and he'll get there. There's no bring his brother past.
Origin of King James.
It's Saturday. And it's 2 o'clock. So, elder will take you all that. And then I'll give you a chance to we have a problem not knowing that a man, a whole nation of people have whitewashed now our mind, and we think one thing, but we're gonna show you that a big elephant is in the room. We're going to stop the elephant in the kitchen. You know, a lot of people cannot stop an elephant in the kitchen. After the elephant in the kitchen. So what we're going to do, we're going to show you soundly who is King James. Not only who is King James, who is the descendants of Shem. And we'll build the foundation now, shortly. We're going to bring our elder in. And let IL take his time and do what he got to do on page 11. And just talk about the special guest that's coming up this Saturday, not this Saturday on the bottom part of the Saturday at 2 o'clock. And whatever the Almighty will put on your elder, so we can bring our elder, Mr. Tibbs, in. Tibbs Israel. If I said, Mr. Tibbs Israel, our elder. Y'all quite beat you there, see right.
And Yahuwah bless you, see Israel, and see Israel. Olu, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Father. Israel. So, we got a lot of things coming up with that, and plus everything that Almighty put on you to talk about. At the time while we look around and we help the young line to bring up some information, because I want to take a look at some things after you lay the foundation. Elder, Mr. Tibbs, Israel, you on the clock. Come on.
Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me into tonight's broadcast. And as I say, it's always a pleasure to be among a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah. And that's always a good thing. Well, I'm glad we did have a few minutes in the beginning of our program speaking on certain things, because as you might imagine, I had got tied up in a conversation, believe it or not, with the Latter-day Saints once again. Those guys are really trying to put a challenge on the table. But it was a good conversation. But instead of trying to beat them up with the word, what I did is put the Bible in front of them. Do you believe in the Bible? Oh, of course we do. But, you know, we still believe in the in the Book of the Mormon. So as I pulled out some mistakes that I saw, instead of me throwing it at them, I had them to read a few scriptures and then look in the King James Bible, which they say they believe. And then when it came out of their mouth, they like hesitated. Well, it was not two on the phone. They had the elder clergymen of the Latter-day Saints looking up the scriptures. They had Mr. Collins and Mr. Elliott, three against one. Well, when they looked up the scripture in the Bible, I asked them, why would these words be added onto the Book of the Mormon? The response was, we have no clue, Elder Tibbs. Is it okay if we call you tomorrow? So I silently laughed and said, yes, I think that's fine. But I think that shows a lesson. We have to reach out to people where they're at their level of understanding, and bring them up to where they should be in the King James Bible. And this is what we do. This is the way you get people into the ministry of Yahuwah's teaching. This is why we are here, to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching. Loud bump the gums for some people's righteous learning and Christianity. And we have to remember that. This is why we welcome and thank all of you for attending a live broadcast of Yahuwah's ministry, emphasizing Yahuwah's ministry. Coming to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible, and first and foremost about Yahuwah's word. Connecting the books, your health, and foods you should eat and keep in the Sabbath days. And speaking of the Sabbath days, this coming Sabbath, this Saturday, we're supposed to have Lee Cummins to visit us. Actually, he had an occasion he could not keep this past Sabbath, which passed, and I had to stand in his place. And what I presented was, who am I? Which designated who you are as a black person in the Bible and in history, which is hidden from you. This is, a demonstration about who you are as a black man and where you came from, or a black woman. And knowing these things lets you know where you are today. So he should be making a star appearance this coming Sabbath, Saturday, at 2 p.m. So I guess everybody can get their questions together that they have for him, because no one can answer the questions for the man or woman except that man or woman themselves that speak. Well, you knocked, and this is the information you came to seek. And since you did that, you have to look no further, because you're now reached the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yadav. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., and those days for this intensive teaching is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, having no class on Tuesday, but we do have a Sabbath class. And the top part of the Sabbath is Friday. That class time starts at 7:30 to 10:30, and the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m., and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. Use this on any search engine, on any one of your smart devices, and at tribeyadav.com. And after you click enter, under the big line, you'll see some choices, one which will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow those instructions. In the other device, you possibly might see menu. Or after clicking that, you'll still see choices. Still choose the tithes and offerings. In doing so, remember what it tells all of us to read the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7, verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, O you descendants of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated, that you give according to the Bible scriptures mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, once again mentioned to us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you thus says Yahuwah lies. Also, for building a school, banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. We even have a calendar. While there, check out that calendar. It's there to help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days that come to us throughout the year. We even have a live program. You'll find us a features available during our live broadcast time. To get there, just enter Yahuwah Radio Live on your cell phone, your computer, or any one of your smart devices. After that's done, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav, and click the red live button as soon as it appears. You'll be right until a live online broadcast. We also have two email addresses. The first is tribeyada@gmail.com. The other is yadaisrael@gmail.com. These are for writing your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answered or related topics. We even have a few numbers you can call with Yahweh and Mike. The first being the live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number. This is where you can call and leave a message on those scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 6 or 9 accounts of Dr. Wells mentioned. But also in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. I'll have to remind you, we're here with a discouraging click followed by a dollar. Also, by calling the same number, you can order what our members know as the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it. On another note, we might ask, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. As you might imagine, the seer is usually pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and answered many memos as most of us have seen. And even now, today, the Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back, unless you call trying to teach. You'll only hear that discouraging dial tone. Now, if you've happened to miss the beginning of today's program, catch the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. Just in a three words, Yahweh Radio Live. And look for Voices of the True Israelites. Subscribe with Yahweh. Choose the program that you were late logging into, or at that point, any previous day you see listed that you would like to listen. Also, during our normal Blog Talk broadcasts, we are also simultaneously transmitting on Pal Talk. Pal Talk can be logged in by your cell phone, your tablet, or download the Pal Talk app. We will be listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah. Your final room will hold 50 or more listening participants, where Yahweh's Word will also be working for Bible education. An online there to answer any of the on-the-table topics we discussed during our program will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with the Seer Israel, writing their Shaka. And during this time, we'll be taking no comments off-topic or any more than 2 text questions answered at a time. And if Blog Talk ends before teaching time, we will continue our teaching on Pal Talk. But a continuing note that I always give, when we're giving scriptures to speak by the seer, always be quick to hear and slow to speak, so the words of Yahweh flow smoothly. Remember that we have hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahweh, and not that of confusion. As we are reminded in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. Because when we do this, we actually keep those scriptures in mind. But when you find those trying to win the Off the Gums contest, as you often hear, they miss all of Yahweh's glory, which is said unto them. Because here we rehearse the righteous act. We learn the words of Yahweh, as it reminds us in St. John chapter 14, verse 26. So we can start to do this. We'll pass our program back to our seer Israel and say, hallelujah, Yahweh.
All right, Ayo. Hallelujah, Father. All right. I guess, y'all, I got 2 assignments that I want to add on. But I need to hear something about,
gotta check your audio, brother. See ya.
Okay. All right. So, how about now, Elder?
You are sounding what they say on a radio station, 5x5.
All right. Well, I was basically a mile away from my microphone at that time. Not like I was a mile away. Just, I was hearing everything, but I just was imagining why we don't see what we need to see because the time is at hand. Now, young line, thank you, Elder. So now, young line, can you help those see out? Can you got anything out of historical documents, facts, exactly who is, what lineage did King James come through? Is anything that somebody biblically? Now, the reason we say these things, let's not bring mother in. See, it's the reason we say that. And young line, how about give me some Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Let's do it in the spirit of the Almighty Yahweh. What do Luke 12:12 say, young line? Come on.
Okay, going over to the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12. Verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
Right. So, see, that's the key. You want all the help you can get. Anytime I hear a man or a woman say, tell the Almighty, you guide my lesson. I don't know. I prepare a lot of things, but a lot of things might come up. So when you ever hear anybody put in Luke 12, verse 12, the Almighty, to his spirit, you guide my message. Because we know it's your message. You guide it the way you want to go. But like I said again, we got so many memos on the table. And we're just going to examine a few things after you tell me, is in this darker documents, Pastor, tell me exactly who is King James Stewart, his lineage. Can you got anything we can read on his lineage, on his, his pedigree or his lineage. So can you tell me anything about King James Stewart there, young lion? What you got on King James Stewart?
Okay, I'm going to read from a few historical documents. I want to first start off with this historical document coming from a book, The Negro Rulers of Scotland and the British Isles by Dr. John L. Johnson. I'm going to begin reading. I'm going to read a couple of couple passages about it here. Let me see. I'm going on page 81, The Negro Rulers of Scotland and the British Isles. It's about James VI and the First, and it reads, "The Episcopalian Moors, Black King James VI, the First Stuart, was the son of Henry and Mary Stuart, whose bloodline stretched all the way back to the Pitt Scottish King Kenneth the Nigger. He became King of Scotland in AD 1567 to 1625. Following the death of his mother, Mary of Scots, and was chosen by his cousin, Elizabeth of England, to succeed her. The colored king was the first to unite the British Isles and Scotland with which then became Great Britain. His name is the most well-known of all of European kings, since he authorized the King James Version of the Bible and named it after himself." All right.
Now, good. So now you got him as a lineage coming out of who again? Who you got him come out of? Let me see if I get in there with you a little bit. You got him coming from what lineage?
I have him coming from back to the Pict of Scottish King Kenneth the Nigger.
Okay, now where did King Kenneth the Nigger come from? Where did he come from?
Hold on,
young man.
See,
what we trying to tell you, sometimes people's be, they rather argue like the secret called Terrigen. You rather fight than switch. So now we gonna trace this lineage, King James lineage, to who again now, young line?
we're going to trace this to King Kenneth the Nigger.
Okay, good. Now, where did Kenneth the Nigger, where did he come from?
Okay.
Who is his descent? Where did he come from?
Okay, I have going back to page five in the same book called The Negro Rulers of Scotland in the British Isles, and it reads, page five, the first dynasty of Scotland was called the Alpine Dynasty, ruled by the Picts, who were described to be a short, pygmoid, dark-skinned people. Their first ruler of the Alpine Dynasty was the Moors, Kenneth MacAlpine, A.D. 843-858. The Scottish archaeologist David McWright stressed that during the 10th century, Alpine, the father of Kenneth MacAlpine, was a half-black Pict and half-black Scot, whose son Kenneth was the first to merge the two foremost branches of the blacks in Scotland. Kenneth MacAlpine was also called Nigger Thou Dub. MacAlpine's descendant, Kenneth the Nigger, is historically known to be a nigger whose royal Negro Moorish blood continued to rule Scotland up to James the Sixth and the First of England, who became the first black Scottish king of England.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that still ain't getting me where I'm trying to get to there, young man. I want to go past that. I'm trying to get to somewhere we can pick it up in the Bible or pick up historically. Now, we know that he came, Bruce, his name is Bruce, that he came, but what we're trying to do is get him, we got King James on the table. Now, can you get me back a little further into something that we can really kind of chew on a little bit, get it back a little further to something else? I don't want to say what to get it back to. I want you to just bring it out, then we'll take it from there. You got to get it past there so we can have something to work with.
All right. Well, I can go past. Well, what I was going to do was I was going to go back and give a description of King James and his royal bloodline. And, I just had it marked. Okay, I was going to read from the Negro Question Part 4, The Missing Link. And I was going to read from page 16, and it reads. It says, after Cromwell had executed King Charles I and ravaged the three kingdoms, the Jacobites tried to restore the black Stuart king to power. They were known as Jacobites. One should name himself Jacob, and another should name himself Israel. You are going to see statements like these throughout the book, but they are intended for another audience, and they know who they are.
Well, I'm not want to hear. I mean, not that I don't want to hear, but I want direct hit. And I don't want that one word. Well, how about I tell you to do? Why don't you just do it like this? Go get in part six of the Black 13 Colonies and look down on page number 24 and 25, young man, and just get right down to the crux of the matter. See, well, I'm trying to get to it. Now, we got King James coming out of Bruce, but I want to find out where Bruce came from. And once you find out where Bruce came from, then I can get to, then me and mother can get busy on working a little bit. If you just kind of just, you know, like I said, stop running around the yard and just give me something we can work with. How about look at verse 24, page 24 and 25. And then get me some solid that we can work with and take the Bible and get busy with it.
All right. I'm going to go straight to the page, the Negro Question Part 6, the 13 Black Colonies, Lee Comics, page 25, read. Chapter 2, Zora, and Caw-Caw in Europe. If the kings of Scotland, Ireland, and Britain are truly descendants of Judah, how did they arrive in Europe? This is a question that must be answered to validate the Hebrew Shemitic claims of the Scottish king. In order to solve this riddle, we have to follow the footsteps of Yadas Judah's two grandsons, Caw-Caw and Darta, from 1 Chronicles 2, 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 1 down to 6. According to the ancient story of Josephus, Caw-Caw left Egypt.
Hold on, young line. Hey, hold on, young line. Again, you're going around. You got Brooks coming. So now you got King James coming out of Brooks. Now what you both is come up with now Brooks came out of which one of these songs? Once you get a name on the table that we can read, he came out of who? Now you read the door.
Okay, he came from Judah.
Came out of who?
He came from Judah.
No,
was born.
Come from who? You just got the two. You got the two sons. You just got the two sons. Now they come out of Judah. See, that's how you run down when we get like you get rid to it. You got the two sons that Bruce came. Bruce came out of one of these two sons. Then these two sons will get you back to Judah. See, the two sons will get you back to Judah. That's how you go in on it. You got King James on the table. You got Bruce. He's coming out of the sins of Bruce. Now Bruce got to come out of one of these two sons. Then we can go up. Then we can go from there. Now, you got King James coming out of Bruce. Okay, where did Bruce come from? Now you got two sons on the table. Now, which one of these two sons did he come out?
Right, Caw-Caw.
Okay, you got Caw-Caw. Now you on something. Now you got him out of Caw-Caw. And what's the other brother name?
Darda.
Okay, you got Darda. Now, what land did they pick up for him to come, for Bruce to come out of? Where did they come from? What land did they come from to get to the British Isles? Where did they come from?
Okay, they left Egypt and founded the city of Athens, but had to return to Egypt and killing a man. Okay, so
okay,
they
now
came
you
from
got, you got Athens and you got Troy. So now you got the two cities, the two boys that was king of. So now you got the two boys that's king of Athens and Troy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, out of Troy, Athens, came Bruce. And Bruce is the one produced who? King James. In that 342 years of black Scott kings, British kings rule. So that's how you get rid to it. See, you get rid to it by... Once you got King James coming out of one of these two sons, and these two sons, by going right back to you, your handout of your historical documents, they was two kings over what place? There was two kings, and which one did Bruce come out that you can read that produced the 342 years of black kingship. Which one of the two kings did he come out that we can
all
read?
Right. Okay, we're going to historical facts. We're going to pick up and read from some historical facts from the ancient Greeks, the Arcanians, and the Trojans. I'm going to read down in the last paragraph on page 1. It reads, now the Danites who left Egypt before the Exodus under Danis took the majority of the Greek cities, Argos, Pylos, Sparta, Messenia, and others. The Judites who left Egypt before the Exodus were under the leadership of two brothers named Caw-Caw and Darda, whose father was Zorah, who was one of the two sons of Judah took the city of Athens in Attica, which is in the eastern Greece, and the city of Troy alone.
Which one did Brutus come out of that produced King James? Which one of the boys, which one of these kings' sons, Chaco, Dada, that which one that produced Brutus? Because Brutus came out of Troy. Which one produced him? To get over there to start the 342 years of kingship, who produced who?
Right. Dada, Chaco took Axis, and Dada took Troy. So Dada is when Bruce come through.
So Dada is the lineage that Bruce came through. There you go. Now, that's what we wanted. So Dada is the son that produced Brutus. Brutus is the first line of kings of 342 consecutive rule of British rule. It started with Bruce. And out of Bruce came King James Stuart, the Stuart. This is where they come from, but he come out of Dada. And Dada got a brother called Calco. And Calco, both brothers, got a father called who?
Zora.
Who is their father?
Zora.
Who is their father? No, Zora is not their father.
You say Calco and Dada?
Father? Yeah, who is their father? Who is their father?
Calco and Dada?
Their father is Zora. Okay, good. Their father is Zora. Now, who is Zora's father?
Zora's father is Judah.
There you go. So now you got it down to Judah. Now, what do Judah look like by going to Jeremiah 14, verse 2?
All right. Going over to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 14, picking up at verse number 2. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 14, verse number 2 reads, Yada Judah mourn, and the gates thereof length. They are black unto the ground.
Excellent. Now, we got Judah been identified as being black. Then Judah had twin boys called Zora and Perez. Perez had sons that produced David, Solomon, the children of Israel in that line. Now, Zora produced Calco and Dada. And so now you got the twin boy coming down, and he produced, Dada produced who? Brutus. And Brutus produced who? King James. So that's how you, King James is from Zora, Judah. The twin boys, both of them, were to the ground. So that's how you know King James is a black man, because he's coming out the lineage of Zora. Because Brutus coming right out of the twin boys, the two boys, Dada and Calco. Dada had what land that he was king of? Again, young lad. What land was he king of?
Dada was king of...
What?
Dada was king of Troy.
No. Is that true?
Dada took
what
Troy.
What land was he king of? No. What land was he... What land was he king of, that young lion?
You said Dada, right?
Well, see, once we get to, Now, once we get this down pat, then I can go. But I'm gonna let you walk into this. You got two boys that came out of Zora, and both of them was king over two specific places. What is the name of the two places they was king of?
And God, I took Troy.
Are you sure? Is it all the way around?
Carco took Athens and Darda took Troy.
That's your final verdict?
Mm-hmm.
So now,
yeah. Hallelujah.
Now we got two boys, and they was kings. And now they was kings. Robert the Bruce. That's what his name. Robert is the Bruce. He is the grandfather of King James. So those that listen to me, so you can understand how you find out the color. You can't look at the pictures you see, because the pictures you see have been whitewashed. We look at the picture of King James now, that's been whitewashed, because it was already prophesied it was going to happen, young line, and Book of Maccabees. Where is in Maccabees that it was already prophesied that a people's going to come in and change the pictures to another color? Go 348, Book of Maccabees. See, that's why you have to have the history. Then you can walk it all the way down, and everywhere you go, you must bring your name with you. See, when you bring your name with you, you always can trace the name. That's why you got to have a name to trace the name back to a father's name. So now when you trace Robert the Bruce will be the first king 342 consecutive years of ruling in Britain. Robert the Bruce. But you trace Robert the Bruce back to the two boys, Calco and Dada. Now, these two boys' father is Zora. Zora had a brother called Perez. Perez and Zora are twins. They come from Judah. Judah is the fourth son of Israel. Judah is black to the ground. And the children of Israel have always been identified as people of color, because whenever they get in trouble, they always run back to what place? Egypt, according to the Bible. They'll run back to Egypt and hide out there. Not for protection. They go there to hide out until whatever the problem is blow over. And see, you got to know that part. Again, once you start looking at the children of Israel and seeing that these peoples is black to the ground, then you look over there in a city called the Vatican City and see that every picture have been whitewashed, even the Pope himself. He cannot claim a member of the 12 tribes of Israel. Neither can, what's the name that was, Queen Elizabeth. She can't claim that. She can't claim Zora. Not, she can say out of her mouth, but she can't go biblically, and because the peoples of children of Israel is black to the ground, and they always been depicted as black to the ground. But when you have somebody else that's teaching you that's whitewashing the pictures and the images and the record book, it always going to confuse you. And that's why you'll go to that and say, King James is a white man. King James not a white man once you run it back. to Robert the Bruce, his grandfather, and then once you trace Robert the Bruce coming out of Troy, he came out of Troy, Robert the Bruce. He come out Atkins. Both of them is his uncle or his father's descent, father or his uncle. So when he came out and went to Britain, see, the two sons can trace themselves back to Zora. Zora traces himself back to Perez, his twin, and they trace themselves back to Judah. Judah traced himself back to Israel. Israel traced himself back to Isaac. Isaac traced himself back to Abraham. Abraham traced himself back to Arphaxad. Arphaxad traced himself back up to Shem. Now, since we know he get back to Shem, now we go on into the pictorial of the Bible, volume 5. Because Shem is the key. But see, they always would change your name, and once they change your name, you don't see past the name. Because remember, any name is supposed to have a father to it. If you call yourself a Hebrew, there's no father to Hebrew. If you call yourself a Jew, a Jewish, there's no father to that. Long as you bite in on that, you will never see the true picture of the Bible. Because you, and long as you a Christian, you will never see this. It's like a morphine drip. It's going to relax your brain where you cannot see an elephant in the kitchen. And so what we're trying to do is take our time to understand that all you have to do is take your feelings out the way and look at King James' descent. Where did he come from? Who did he forget? And you're going to trace him back to Robert the Bruce that came from two kings after the Trojan War. He escaped and he came straight on over to Britain. And the word Britain only means the peoples of the covenant. Once you got the proper information, then you understand that you've been identity theft. That's what will happen to you. And the theft have got your mind like a morphine drip. It don't put you to sleep. Once you trace King James back, going backwards, you're going to run into Maccabees 3:48. Let's say, y'all, they're going to bring the mother in, and we're going to go and get busy. See, they're going to bring the mother in, and then we're going to get busy a little bit. After you understand, you got to have your foundation. If you ain't got your foundation, you're going to be all over the place. So we're trying to show you this is how you trace things back, then you will find out identity theft have happened to the children of Israel, now called African American, Negro, and color. What is it saying? 3:48 there, young line. You're going to bring mother in. We're going to see if we take care of a little business. What it says in Maccabees 3:48?
The book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 3, picking up at verse number 48. 48 reads, "And laid open the book of the law, wherein the Esau and his five sons have sought to paint the likeness of their images."
So it's prophesied that Esau and his five sons, they're going to paint the likeness of their image. They're going to whitewash all the children of Israel. And that's why he's so confused on King James, because King James look like the Pope. They look like each other, but that is whitewash. The children of Israel, King James, he come out of Zora. And Zora got a brother called Perez that you can read in the 38th chapter of Genesis. And their father is Judah. He had twins by Tamar. Twins. The only difference in the two boys that when Zora come out first, the midwife put a scarlet red thread around his hand. The only difference between them two boys was the scarlet red thread. Then he pulled his hand back and Perez jumped out. The only way the midwife know the difference between his two boys, twins, was the scarlet red thread she put on his hand. Because they both was twins. They both was melanated. And their father was Judah, which is black to the ground. And when other people take over, they got in Britain now, which means the covenant peoples, they got the signs of the lion and the eagle, but the lion, you see, they sign it the lion over there in Great Britain, red lion. But don't be confused. The red lion is talking about the red thread that was on his hand, the red thread. But both of them was black to the ground. So now, that's how you, if you just look at things, let's bring mother in, let's lay a little groundwork now. We're going to bring our mother in, by meet and greet Mother E, by saying, Mother E, tribe of Yahweh, Judah, one of the mothers out of camp, one, Yahweh bless you, see you,
Israel. Yahweh bless you, see you, Israel, of Yahweh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, there, Mother E. Mother E, you see, we hear a lot of things, and like I said, our job is to, with the right spirit, correct things if that they want to know the truth. If they want to know the truth, we give them the truth. But what do it say in Psalms 11, verse 3, Mother? Hey, Mother E, what do it say we can read in Psalms 11, verse 3?
Psalms chapter 11, verse 3.
Yes, ma'am. What that say?
Psalms chapter 11, verse 3 reads, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do?
If you don't have your foundation, you can mean all the well, good. But if you don't have your foundation, if you're trying to be right, what can you do? See, if your foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? In the Bible, when you read this Bible, it's not a novel. When you read the Bible, you have to follow the rules of the Bible, but you got to hear the rules. The rules of the Bible is in Numbers chapter 1, Mother. Let's go to Numbers chapter 1 and look at the rules of the Bible when it comes down how do you show your descent. It's rules to showing your descent according to the Bible. And once you understand the rules, then you will not be saying King James. Well, how can you prove King James is a black man? King James been a white man all my life. Yeah, I know that. Because you don't have your foundation. You don't know who you are. But we're going to show you how you check things out. And you take that old preacher of yours and you ask him, well, what about this? What about when you read Numbers chapter 1, verse 4 and 5? Well, the same other, Numbers 1, verse 4 and 5. See, listen what the Bible says. Numbers chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Listen to Mother E break it down for you. Numbers chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. What is that, Mother?
The book of Numbers, chapter 1, verse 4 and verse 5. Verse 4. And with you there shall be a man of every tribe, every one head of the house of his father, head of the family of his father. Verse 5. And these are the names of the men that shall stand with you. Of the tribe of Reuben, Eleazar, the son of Jesse. Yeah, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, Mother. Read verse 2. Like I said, we're going to take our time and lay this little foundation. Then tomorrow we'll come back and, you know, it's, listen, if you got an elephant in your kitchen and you try to cook and you don't see it, then shame on you. An elephant can be in your kitchen and you trying to get around the elephant to cook and you can't recognize the elephant. And see, that's what Christianity would do for you. It'll have you in a kitchen with an elephant in there and you trying to cook and you don't even see it. So it's basically nothing we can do, but we can show you what the Bible's saying. If you don't have your foundation, you will never see the Bible unfold itself. And as long as you're part of Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, you'll never see the Bible. You gotta be a 1434 second Ezra. What it said, young lion, what it said in second Ezra 1434. This has got to happen first.
All right.
Second
the book
Ezra 1434.
Going over to the book of second. Going over to the book of second Ezra. We're on chapter 14. We're gonna pick it up at verse number 34. The book of second Ezra. Chapter 14, verse 34. And it reads, therefore, if so be that you will subdue your own understanding and reform your mind, you shall be kept alive. And after death, you shall attain mercy.
Mm-hmm. See, you got to take all the degrees, all that what your brother, your mama, your auntie have taught you, and just put it aside for a minute and just have an open mind to go and do the research. Do the research and put all that where I've been a Catholic for the last 30, 40, 50 years. Okay, good. And I ain't never heard that. No, you're not going to hear that. Because the only way you going to hear this, you have to remember what he told Isaiah, mother. Hey, Mother E, he told Isaiah something in 25 verse 7. Listen to what he told Isaiah the seer. He told Isaiah something in 25 verse 7. Listen to what he said.
Book of Isaiah. Chapter
yeah, 25 verse 7. Put your marker there. Put your marker where you had in that number. Come back in numbers in a minute. Matter of fact, we're going to bring our elder in on look to help those, help lay this foundation down. Because until you have the foundation laid, you're going to be all over the place. Because once you deviate from what he tell you to do, you ain't going to never see this thing. It'll be an elephant in the room with you, and you'll never be able to see it. Mm-hmm. And you're going to try to cook with an elephant in the kitchen with you. Say, why can I get the cooking right? And everybody say, can't you see the elephant in the kitchen? No, I can't see it. I can't see it. See? And that's when you got to. All right, what we read? 25 verse 7.
Isaiah chapter 25 verse 7. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of this covering, cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations.
He says, this thing is a paper bag over your head. It's like driving down the expressway with a paper bag over your head, as long as you up on the stand of Islam and Judaism, reading the Bible now. It's just like you driving a car in the rush hour with a paper bag over your head. And an elephant in the kitchen. Now, he said his paper bag.
right. Says where seed ruin. Okay, Mother E. I guess right now we know Big Dignitary is probably going to clip the mic from the stiff for a second. So we're going to keep the ball game rolling. And we're going to see what how this ball game goes. And let's pick it up where you left off at. Let's go back to Isaiah 25, verse number 7. You're saying it's like a paper bag put over your head. And read that one more time, Mother E.
Isaiah chapter 25, verse 7. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covenant, cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations.
And we know that this veil was spread over all nations. But let's see what he had to say in the book of 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. If you actually in the book of First John, Mother, chapter 5, verse number 19. Like the silver saying, it's like they put a paper bag over everybody's head. And that's like the, you know, a veil, like something's going on people here, and they don't have no idea what's going on. They be things reading right in your face. Yeah, let's see what St. John chapter First John chapter 5, verse 19. What it read, Mother?
First John chapter 5. Verse 19. And we know that we are of Yahweh, and the whole world lies in wickedness.
So we know it. It's anointed counsel, voice of the true Israel. Like, we know that we are of Yahweh, but we know that the world lies in wickedness. If you know they put it's a veil going over their head anyway. You know, they can't even see what's going on. That's why we got to make sure that V-O-T-T-Y, voice of the true Israel, like, we got us in John chapter 3, verse number 11 going on, Mother E. You know, because we, like you say, we know we are of Yahweh, and we also know that we are John chapter 3, verse number 11, Mother E. Let's see what he said over there. You got to make sure we know some things. You know, like we know that big elephant sitting in that room too, Mother. We ain't gonna ignore it. You know, we gonna call it out.
John chapter 3, verse
Israelites, with your host, the seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
All right there, young man. Thanks again. We'll be live again. You know, we was thankful for stepping in, because we always will be monitored big time. And we'll be pulled off the airways on any drop of air. So if I'm pulled off the airways, just do what you got to do. We talk about it another time. Now, we find out that you're driving a car and you got a bag over your head in traffic, you know what's going to happen. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
We asked our elder to give us 2 Corinthians 3:16. Can you hear me out, elder? Hey, elder, Mr. Tibbs, can you give those here?
Well,
2 Corinthians 3:16. We're going to precept that. The only way this is going to happen, you got to precept your Bible. Hey, yo, Mr. Tibbs, what do you say? Hey, yo, Mr. Tibbs, what do you say, yo? Well, see, we just mute you. Now we going to mute the elder. It's your radio station. You mute who you want to mute. Okay, young lion, give me that 2 Corinthians 3:16.
All right. The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, picking up at verse number 16. Verse 16 reads, "Nevertheless, when it shall turn to Yahweh, the veil shall be taken away."
You see that? So the only way the veil gonna be lifted, you gotta turn to who?
Turn to Yahweh.
How many letters is that?
Four letters. Y-H-W-H. Yahweh.
So the only way to, listen to me. The only way you would not be confused, the veil must be lifted off your head. That means you must turn to the four-letter man, YHWH. When you read this Bible, you must understand what says in the book of Proverbs 3, verse 5. What it says, hey, Mother E, what do Proverbs 3, verse 5 say? Proverbs 3, verse 5. See, you got to have, not that read 1 through 5, then myself and the young lion, we're going to stretch out a little bit too. So go to Proverbs chapter 3, 1 down to verse 5. Remember, the veil is not going to be lifted until you and we read the article earlier by the young lion showing you that the Pope himself, he ordered all the big dignitaries, everyone up under Christianity. He's the head man, Apostolic Church and all the rest. He said in 2008-2009, all you big deacons, all you big cardinals, you go wherever Christianity is and tell them to don't put the name and don't use the name YHWH. Use any other name but the four letters YHWH. So that's why a Christian will hear the name, and then you will frown at the name of the true name of our Maker. Because you've been dictated through your pastor, and he's been dictated through the bishops and all the cardinals from the Pope and guess who behind Pope? Give me that 12:26 there, young line. Now I'm gonna show you something. See, the veil is not gonna never be removed. You will never see this thing until you understand this, what the seventh from heaven said in the third book of Enoch. Enoch is the third, he's the seventh from Adam. And Almighty had him to put some writing in the book. Listen what was said, and the young lion going to expound on it once he read 26:12 of the third book of Enoch. That didn't make it to canon. No, it didn't get in the canon. Because if it got in the canon, you would be in a predicament you in today. Hey, mother, give me that Proverbs 3, 1 down to verse 5. Then give me Enoch, third book of Enoch, 26:12, that young line. But mother, give me 1 through 5. Proverbs chapter 3, 1 down to verse 5. Give me that, mother.
Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. Verse 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thy mind keep my commandments. Verse 2. For make the day and long life, and peace shall thy add to thee. Verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thy mind. Verse 4. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of Yahweh and man. Verse 5. Trust in Yahweh with all thy mind and lean not unto thy own understanding.
Yeah. He's telling to keep the law. If you sit in a ministry and they tell you the law is done away with, see, then the veil just is not over. It's not over your head. They took a piece of duct tape and tied the bag where you can't even get no air to your head. Put a bag in your head and you run a duct tape all around it where you just, see? Listen, he said, my son, if you want to learn this thing and do right, you must keep the law. And now, mother, precept that to one verse. Romans 7, verse 1. Now, what about the law? Let's see what he say about the law. We're going to Romans 7, verse 1 there, mother. He said, my son, lean not, my daughter too, lean not on your own understanding. Keep the law. Romans 7, verse 1 says what?
Book of Romans chapter 7, verse 1. Know you not, brethren, speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over man as long as he lives.
He said, but you're still in the ministry, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism tell you the law is done away with. We're not upon the law, we're upon the grace. And grace is just like when you owe a bill, like the light company, gas company, water bill, whatever. Say, listen, Mr. Gas Company, man, I can't pay you right now. What you trying to tell me before I cut your gas off? Can you give me some grace? Well, how much time you need? I need to my next month check come in. So what is that, about 2 weeks from today? Yes. Okay, good. I won't charge you overtime, or I'll give you 2 weeks. Do that mean by you being up under his grace to give you 2 weeks, you ain't got to pay the bill at all? No. This is what Christianity do for you. You're not going to allow you upon the grace. Grace is only a temporary shelter for you to get that money right and pay your light bill. You 2 weeks not cut your gas off until you get your money up. That's the grace he just gave you. But Christianity has said grace means you ain't got to keep no law. That means you ain't got to pay the bill because you're a cold man, you want to pay grace. See, this is, Christianity is a morphine drug drip. You've seen, you go to the hospital, you see they run the morphine in them, try to get them relaxed, but they be laying out like a rug, don't they? Christianity do for you. Christianity would not have you trying to cook kitchen with an elephant in the kitchen. And you can't figure it out. That's what Christianity do. You can't figure out if you trace King James back to somebody, to Robert, to Bruce, and you put it right over there in Troy and Athens, and you trace it right back to the two boys, Azaro and Perez, and Perez's father is Judah. Judah's father is Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Israel's father is Isaac. Isaac is Abraham. Abraham come out of Patrick, and Shem is the top man in that lineage. Now, let's go to the volume 5 and show you about Shem. See, this is how you find out something, but Christianity can't teach you this. Let's find out who Shem is, because Shem is the grandfather of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who name changed of Israel. Shem. He's their father. Let's go to Genesis 10:22 and find out about Shem in the Bible. What it say, young man, Genesis 5:22 about Shem?
All right. Going over there to the book of Genesis. Chapter 5. We're going to pick it up at verse number 22. The book of Genesis. Chapter 5. Verse 22 reads, Enoch walked with Yahweh, and he begat Methuselah 300 years. He got sons and daughters. From verse 22.
What you reading? Yeah, what you reading? 5:22. What you reading? Give me Genesis 5:22.
You want 22 or 32?
I want
32.
I want Genesis. What I want? What
32.
I want? Yeah, okay.
The book of
32.
Genesis,
I want his Shem's boys. Isn't that 10:22? Make it 10.
No.
Thank you, Mother Z. You're 10:22. See this right here is such stuff that it just don't make no sense that we don't know this common thing. 10:22, I'm talking to the world that, and you trace everybody back to not their religion, but their bloodline. And you ain't got to go get no DNA test. All you got to find out who you are, and it'll tell you exactly how to trace who and what they look like and everything else. Make that 10:22. What is that 10:22 of Genesis?
The book of Genesis chapter 10. The book of Genesis chapter 10, verse 22. 22 reads, the children of Shem, Elam, and Asher, and Arphaxad, and Lud, and Aram.
That's the five sons of Shem. Now, out of Arphaxad, one of Shem's boys, he produced what you call Abraham. Abraham produced Isaac. Isaac produced Jacob. You got it? Good. And Jacob's name was changed Israel. And Israel is the father of the 12 patriarchs called the 12 tribes of Israel. So all we got to do is go find out what his grandfather looked like. And what did his grandfather say he looked like? Then you know how to put things together. Then you look over there in the Vatican City and see do it match up. Now let's go to, they put a name on Shem. But look what it says, how you identify anybody. We're going back to Numbers again, Mother. Now watch this, we're going to Numbers. Chapter 1. It might be a little bit over. You know why? A lot of things be over your head, like the Catholic Church cut me off just a minute ago to tell me, well, still, wait, bring it down a little bit. It ain't bring nothing down. This is called easy walking, easy picking right here. But as long as you're part of Christianity, you ain't going to see nothing. You won't see the elephant in the yard, in your front room, in your kitchen, and you be trying to cook. Christianity is a morphine drip, 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 make you just relax. And that's how you be. And you got no defense in Christianity. No defense. And what book we going to use? The Bible. We found out in Genesis 5:22 he had five sons. Now we're going to use the Stalker documents, facts, and find out, we're going back to Numbers again, and find out how you folks operate. Now we found out that Moses was talking to Aaron, and Aaron talking to the 12 children of Israel, said, listen, when you come around your peoples, this what you do in 1:16-18, Mother. And Numbers chapter 1:16-18. Now, You get your loved ones instructions, right? Now you go to school, here your lunch money is, eat your lunch, get on the bus, come on back home. Don't be following all around. Give instructions, right? As long as they follow instructions, they okay. Okay. Moses is going to give Aaron instructions to tell the children of Israel, 1:16 down to verse 18. What did he say there, Mother? What did he say?
The book of Numbers, chapter 1, 16 to 18, verse 16. These were the renown of the congregation, princes of the tribes of their fathers, heads of thousands in Israel. Verse 17. And Moses and Aaron took them, men, which are expressed by their name. Verse 18. And they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they declared their pedigree after their family, by the family of their father, according to the number of the name from 20 years old and upward, by their polling.
Yeah. They declared their pedigree on the name of a father. How you trace back descent is through your father, not through your mother. Your mother cannot trace your descent back. That's a trick from Satan the devil. How you trace descent back is through your father. Wherever your daddy is, that's what you is. It's not pertaining to the color of your skin. If wherever you plant, that's the end of it. You can take an apple seed and go in New York and plant an apple seed in New York and take the same apple seed and go to Clarksdale, Mississippi and plant it there. Still be apple tree. Whatever your dad is, that's what you is. You acquire your pedigree from your father. Whatever your father is, that's what you is. You got it, sir. So now, he gave them the instructions. This is what you do. And what do pedigree means? We precept the Bible, see, by you declare your pedigree by going to 1 Chronicles 1:9, Mother. Let's precept that for the national audience to understand what pedigree means. This is what pedigree means by going to 1 Chronicles 1:9. We go up to the Chronicle book. Is that what I want? 1:9. Is that what I want? 1:9. Now, this is Mother going to tell you what pedigree means. So if you want to know what something means, go to the Bible and find what it means. What does pedigree mean? 1:9. 1 Chronicle 1:9. What do you mean, Mother?
1 Chronicles 1:9. And the sons of Cush, be there.
9:1. Thank you, Mother Z. Thank you again, that Mother Z. See, I'm all over the place. 9:1. Thank you. Thank you, Mother Z. 9:1.
That's what I was reading, 9:1. You said 9:1?
Oh, yeah, 9:1.
Okay. Okay, I got it. 1 Chronicles 9:1. So all Israel were reckoned by genealogy, and behold, they were written in the book of the king of Israel and Judah, who were carried away to Babylon for their transgression.
He said, all Israel is reckoned by genealogy and is written in the book. It's written in the book. All Israel is reckoned through genealogy and is written in the book. What book we read? The Bible. What book we going to show you? The Bible. When you reckon all Israel, you have to use the book called genealogy of the book. So all Israel is reckoned through genealogy. So they craft a pedigree. They always told who was their father. So when you, and the children of Israel is not a religion. Christianity, Islam, or Judaism is a bloodline people. And they always craft a pedigree according to their father. Whatever their father is, that's what they is. You got it? So that's how you do. You craft. Now, let's go and find out what they do best in Obadiah 1:13. Young line, give me Obadiah 1:13. This is what the other nation will do. The other nation will, first thing they done, we read in 3:48 of Maccabees, they'll paint the likeness of themselves. Once they paint the likeness of themselves, guess what else they'll do? You got to go and find out what the seer said he'll do in 1:13. This is what they'll do in 1:13 of the book. Read verse 11 to 13. This is what they'll do in 1:11-13 in Obadiah. Hey, young lion, what will they do? We read in Maccabees 3:48, they'll paint the likeness of themselves first. Then what else they'll do? Obadiah says they'll do what? 1:11-13, what they'll do?
Okay. Going over there to the book of Obadiah, chapter 1, 11 down to verse number 13. Verse 11 read. In the day that youth on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captives his forces, and the foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Yada Judah, even you was as one of them. But you shouldest not have looked on the day. For you should have not looked on the day of your brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither should you have rejoiced over the children of Yada Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither should you have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Verse 13. You should not have entered into the gate of my people. For my sake, this great tempest is upon you.
Great.
Okay. Verse number 14. Neither should you have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither should you have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. Verse 15. For the day of Yahweh is near upon all the 17 nations, Esau and his five sons.
Wait a minute. Hold on there, young lion. I'm missing a hit. And over there, I'm looking for what they did when they got in the gate. I need for you to read it plainly. What did they do that they do when they got in the gate? They got in the gate and they did something. They spoke proudly when the children of Israel went into captivity. And verse 13, they did something. I need to hear it again. What they do in verse 13?
Okay. Verse 13 reads, you should not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yes. You should not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their sufferings in the day of their calamity.
Because it's not only when they rejoiced when the children of Israel went into the bait. Now we got the bait. They rejoiced when the children of Israel went into captivity. Not only that, you have pointed the children of Israel out, whoever you is, you pointed the children of Israel out. Then once they was all going to captivity, you went into their gate and you took the substance, the books, the records. And since they was affecting people and you being the brother of these people, you became them and they became what they call today African-American, Negro, and colored supercone. You see, there's a doubt. This is a prophecy of you going into captivity by the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Syrians, and so on, so on, so on. You went into captivity like you went into captivity out of Portugal and Spain. You always go into captivity, and they always give you another name. They never tell you who you are because you don't know your pedigree no more, and that's why you think King James is a white man, because you don't know your pedigree. You go on with religion, you're not going with pedigree. You're not going with genealogy. You're using religion to trace things back. You can't trace it back. Whoever these people is, they have identity theft on the children of Israel. And here's the record right here. When they went into captivity, they stole your records. This is called the beginning of identity theft. They became you, and now you become African American and Negro in color. Now they took your identity so good where you believe in the Pope and Queen Elizabeth them is the children of Israel. That's how they duke you up. That's called a morphine drip. I mean, they don't put you, I mean, it's flat out dead in the night. See it? Now the Pope, he is the head. This is a identity theft here. It is right here, beginning of identity theft. The children of Israel, he said, you should have never went into the gates. Now, who is the you? So now we're going to find out who the you is. Who did this? And what do the you look like? And you tell me when you took the Bible, because a lot of people ask, like the, you know, big dignitaries out of New York, well, what book are you reading? I'm reading the Bible. I'm reading the Bible. We find out that you went into the gate. Now, who you is? Let the Bible tell you who did this to the children of Israel. He said, when your brother became a stranger. Uh-oh, that's a key word. He said, now, when your brother became a stranger. Now, we're going to back up and find out who you're talking about. He said, your brother became a stranger. You went into the gate of the children of Israel, the brother to Israel, and stole the identity. Now, who did that? Find out from the Bible. Back up, mother, and pick with verse 8. And let's see who did this identity theft. You know, identity theft, that's a big thing going on today. People stealing identity. They'll steal your identity where they have you so dumb. They have people so dumbed down think you don't even exist at all. Identity theft. This is where it started from. Here go the biggest identity theft. It is right here. You went into the gate of the children of Israel, and you took the substance, I mean his books, his records. Now you got them, and now you tell them they're Christians and African-American, Negro, and color, and put them off right now. Then they'll paint the likeness of themselves, and when you go to Vatican's Rome, in the back of the city, you see Peter, Paul, and they are the successor of the book. Everybody looking pale red. That ain't what the Bible says. That's a deadly theft. Now, who did that? Let's read it. Pick it with verse 8. Let's find who done the deadly theft. Let's get a name on this identity theft guy. And you tell me who this is when you use the Bible to identify identity theft through the Bible. That's what the Bible says. Who went to the gate and stole the records and became you, and you become African American Negro, and they become you, and you can't figure it out. There's an elephant in your kitchen. Verse 8. Down to verse 11. Come on, mother.
Corinthians.
Same book, Obadiah.
Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 8.
Take your time there, mother. Hey, mother, take your time and just go deliver the knockout blow from 8 down to verse 12. Who stole the children of Israel's record? And now they think they're Christians, Islamic, Judaism, and they don't know who they are. And that's why they'll say King James is a white man, because they ain't got a clue. And they will never hear this, but it's coming out your Bible. So follow along, those who got to hear it here. 1:8 down to verse 12. Come on.
The book of Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 8 to 12. Verse 8. Shall I not in this day, said the Yahweh, even destroy the wise men out of Edom, Esau, and understanding out of the mouth of Esau? Verse 9. My mighty men, O Timon, the son of Esau, shall be dismayed to the end, that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. Verse 10. For their violence against their brother Jacob, who named it changed to Israel, shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. Verse 11. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the stranger carried away, casted his forth, and foraging entered into his gate and cast lots upon Judah. Even thou was as one of them. Verse 12. But thus should it not have looked on the day of thy brother, and the day that he became a stranger. Neither should thou have rejoiced over the children of Yahweh Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither should thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress.
Mm-hmm. Now look at that. Esau, seeing that the Assyrians came down on the 10 northern tribes, and they took them. And the one that they couldn't find, Esau, the brother of Jacob, points you out. Hey, there's about 5 or 6 of them over there hiding behind that tree. Get them all up out of here. You, Esau, whoever Esau is, we ain't got a picture on him yet, but we will. Esau pointed you out to the enemy, the Assyrians. The Assyrians wound all of you up. And Esau got on their side to help get you out of the land of Israel called Jerusalem. So now once you were taken out of the land in 722 BCE, the children of Esau went into the land. And they can say they are you because they are the brother to you, because Isaac had 2 sons. He had 1 son, and come on, young line, give me Genesis 25, verse 23-25. Let's paint the picture. Jacob and Esau is brothers. But let's find out exactly, do they look like each other? Let's see what the Bible says. Then you tell me who today. So we find out that the brother of Jacob went into the land and identified himself, and now Esau did. So Jacob today don't know who he is. Now who that is? Now who have a really tap on you is Esau. And who is Esau? What does he look like today? That's what the Bible says. What book we reading out of? We're going to read what the Bible says he looked like today. And you tell me who this man is when we read it in Genesis 25, 23, 24, and 25. Who this man is today? You be honest with yourself and tell me who this man is today that named Esau, because the Bible tell you what he looked like in the Bible. Huh? You want to believe the Bible? What book we read out of? The Bible. Genesis 25, 23, 24, 25. What do Esau look like? Let's read it.
Book of Genesis, chapter 25, verse 23, 24, and verse 25. Verse 23. And Yahweh said unto her, two nations are in your womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from your bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people. The elder shall serve the younger. 24. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Verse 25. And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment. And they called his name Esau.
Mm-hmm. Now Esau came out red, all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. So he come out red. All over. And there's no way you to pick Esau. That he's a hairy man. He's a hairy man. And no way you pick Jacob. Let's see what he said about Jacob. Now read a little bit more about Jacob. Now Esau came out red. Red all over like a hairy garment. He was red. He had a lot of hair on himself today. So that same people today. Hey, mother, and Ecclesiastes 4:16 says what? Remember, Esau came out red all over like a hairy garment. He was red and he was hairy. That's what the Bible says. What book we read out of? The Bible. What do Ecclesiastes 4:16 say, mother? Yeah, what do 4:16 say?
Ecclesiastes chapter 4:16. There is no end of all the people, even of all that have been before them.
Right there. So that means there's no end. Is nobody is extinct. I mean, everybody was back then is here now. So don't let nobody tell you, well, the red man don't exist today. According to the Bible in 4:16, yes, he is. He's here today.
That's
just
right.
Like Jesus is here today. There's no end to the people. What book we reading out of? The Bible. That means whoever's back there then have a descent today. And we found out Esau is red and hairy. He's red and he's hairy. That's what Esau looked like today. Now, let's read a little bit more about Jacob here. What do you look like today? Let's see again. Jacob.
All right. We're going over there to the book of Genesis, chapter 27, verse number 11.
Well, now, before you read that, before you read 27, 11, I want to read, come on back with Esau and Jacob. We get 27, 11 after that, but let's give me some more. 25, 25, and 26. I want to know
okay.
what they say about Jacob. Esau came out red and hairy. Now, what happened next? We all read together.
Okay, the book of Genesis, chapter 25, picking up at verse 25 and verse 26. 25, read. And the first came out red all over like in hairy garment. They called his name Esau. 26. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. verse 27 reads, the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents.
Now, Esau was a hunter. He was a hunter of the field. Men, to know Esau today, there's some people that love to go hunting. They always love to go hunting. They love to go. Sometimes you might walk into the big dignitary's house. You might see a big deer head up on the wall. Well, you know, I shot this old deer down right here. They go bass hunting. They love to go hunting. Esau today is people like to go hunting. You know, hunting people. That's who Esau is today. And Jacob is a plain man, and he was a super doctor today. Who that is today? Otherwise, going always, remember that, that guy called Crocodile Don, what do you call his name? Crocodile Dundee, or what do you call him? He loved to go crocodiles. They love to look crocodile. And the same crocodile would kill him. You know, he loved him. You know, he go crocodile. Crocodile God, whatever his name was, he go hunting crocodile.
Yeah. He loved to hunt animals and look at animals. He got killed by a stingray.
Esau descendants love to go hunting animals. That's why you can go to any zoo. And you find out they go shoot the morphine into the animal, take it back and put it in your zoo, and now you can come watch everything. What people did? That's him today. He's a hunter. He loves to go hunt things.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot them down. Or shoot that morphine drip in them, and all of a sudden they just fall out somewhere, and then they come take them in. Make no, you wake up in a cave somewhere. That's Esau today. Are you getting suspicious? Jacob is a man, always a plain man laying back. And not only plain, he's not. Now let's go to 27:11, and Rebecca going to tell you about Jacob, the difference between Jacob and Esau today. Remember, Esau is a hairy man today, meaning that Esau, the hair will grow not only on his face, it'll grow on his back. It'll grow on his legs. Hair grow on his legs. And the only fear they have is the razor blade company going out of business. Because they got the hair on them, because their hair will grow on his legs today and on their back, and they got to go with their back straight. That's Esau today.
Mm-hmm.
They got to go back straight at least once every 6 months. What's he doing? Shaving the hair off in the back. You see? That's Esau today. Everybody here today. But Jacob is a plain man. His mother get ready to talk to Jacob, the plain man, and say something to him. And he get ready to say something. And we're going to read what they say. Now let's go to 27:11. We'll set it up now. So I want you to show you the difference between the two people. And when you look over there on your TV or look in the Vatican City, you show me what don't add up. I mean, we're going to make it plain for you to recognize who's who according to the Bible. It's up to you. It's up to you. Now, what did Jacob and his mother was talking? Jacob was talking to his mother about something, and let's read it. Come on, y'all, let's read about it. What they were talking about in 27:11.
All right. The book of Genesis, chapter 27, verse number 11, reads, and Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man.
Don't be my I was smooth, man. How you know about Jacob and the 12 tribes of Israel? They're smooth people. They ain't got to worry about razor blades cutting their hair.
None of that.
at the tail. Then you got to always go cut the hair off the legs because they pull a good pair of stockings. And they don't get their head out of there, tear the stockings up.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to shave. These dogs, the male and the female must shave. They'll grow all over. That is the sentence of Esau. This is what the Bible is telling you. Esau is red. But what kind of red we want to see? What kind of red now? Let's go in the Bible and find out what kind. Now read a little bit about Rebecca's mother and son talking about Esau. Read down a little bit more and find out what else she said. Now she's talking.
All right.
She said, listen, look, Mom, I can't pass an Esau. He's a hairy man, and I am a plain man. Then what she said next, you come down to 14 and 15. Let's see what
you
what
all right, we're picking it back up at Genesis chapter 27, verse number 12 down to verse 15. Verse 12 reads, my father will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Verse 13, and his mother said unto him, upon me be your curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. Verse 14, and he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made a savory meat such as his father loved. Verse 15, and Rebekah took goodly remnant of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. Verse 16. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hand and upon the smooth of his neck. Verse 17. And she gave the savory meat in the bread, which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. Verse
18. Now, see that? That's good. Mm-hmm. Right there. The time set. But here she did. She said, it's nowhere in the world I can fool my father, your husband. He said, don't worry about it, son. It's curse be on me. You go get me a goat. And I'm going to take the goat's hair, not the lamb's hair, the goat hair, that straight hair. Take the straight hair, but put it all on your hand, on your back, on your neck. We'll put hair all over you. Yeah. Because Jacob is a plain man. Although their father was made blind, he couldn't see. But he know one son was hairy, which is Esau.
Hallelujah.
And Jacob said, Mom, I can't, although Daddy can't see, he's blind right now by the hand of our mighty one. Look. Go get me a goat, like I tell you, boy. And I'm going to shave this goat's hair off and put goat hair all around your neck, around your back, around your hands. I'm going to have goat hair everywhere on you. Goat hair. See? Goat hair and horse hair is interchangeable. It's that straight hair stuff. You know the straight hair, what you do? You put the perms in your hair, and you got straight hair, right? You want straight hair, right? Do you want to be like... You said go get no gold hair. That's that good
right.
Stuff. No. Go get some straight hair. And that's the goat or the horse. And bring me goat's hair and the horse hair. I'm going to put it all around your arms, all around your back, all around your neck. And I'm going to make the savory meat and go on in and get your blessing and go with the blessing you want. But Daddy going to feel me. Don't worry about Daddy feeling you. He can't see, right? Good.
Yeah,
your hand, all the hair on you, you'll say, yeah. The boy sound like Jacob, but the hands is Esau. You see? Because Yahweh blinded him. And that, between the two boys today, Jacob is a plain man even to this day. He ain't got to go get his back shaved. He ain't got to go get his legs shaved. But there's some people that exist today must go get their back shaved and their legs shaved. That's Esau descendants. Mother read in 4:16, whoever back there then is back there now. We got Esau on the table as being red and hairy. But what kind of red? We go on and see what the Bible say in the 29:22, Isaiah, what kind of red? What kind of red is Esau now? What kind of red? Let the Bible tell you that. Only way, if you precept your Bible, it'll tell you that. What kind of red? Go on, read it. 29:22, what kind of red?
The book of Isaiah.
Yeah,
the book
read,
of Isaiah, 29:22 reads, therefore, thus says the Yahuwah, who redeemed Abraham, concerning the family of Israel. Israel shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale.
So what kind of red? Pale red.
Pale red.
Esau himself is descendants to date is pale red, not white. Pale red. Tonight, when you watch the 10 o'clock news, look at the shirt or look at the drywall and look at the face. You'll see that the shirt and the drywall match, but the face will be pale red. You won't say, that you're not white. You pale red. Oh my goodness. Or you remember that president you had a little while ago called Trump? When you asked him any question that he didn't understand, what did he turn more than anything? More pale red. You see the blood showing through the skin.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody that's of Esau descent, you see the blood run through their skin. Or you pat them on the back, and you can see your hand print. That is descendants of Esau. Jacob is a plain man. And Jacob was described as a plain man that came from Isaac all the way up to Shem. Now let's go see what Shem looked like. If you find out what Shem looked like, then you know what Jacob looked like by going, find out what his grandfather looked like. We got Genesis 10:22. We got five sons. Now we go on. Now we see that they always will identity theft you and change your name. They're going to change Shem's name to what name, but they're going to tell you about who they're talking about. Let's read it. Now let's go see about the word called Summa. Summa is a word they use for somebody, and let's see what they say about it. Then we're going to find out what they look like. So if you find out what Jacob's grandfather looked like, then you know what Isaac looked like. You know what Abraham looked like. You know what Terah looked like. By doing one thing, trace back their lineage all the way back. They come out of Shem. What do Shem? But Shem be given another name. He be given another name. But look what it says with Mother E. Read Genesis 3. Make it 9:18-19, Mother. Mother E. Genesis chapter 9, verse 18-19. Let's build this up. Genesis chapter 9, verse 18-19. Let's see what it says. Mother E, Genesis 9:18-19 says what?
Book of Genesis chapter 9, verse 18 and verse 19. Genesis chapter 9, verse 18. And the sons of Noah that went forth out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah and are them for the whole earth overspread.
So you got to come out of the three sons, Shem, Ham, or Japheth, these three sons, Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham come out of Shem. Shem was given a new name, but in the same token, where your daddy is what you is. Let's find out about Suma. Let's read about Suma. What you're reading from and what page you're reading from. Y'all have it?
Okay. I'm going to read from the Pictorial Bible Dictionary, Volume 5. I'm going to read about Sumer on page 5. I'm going to read Sumer, page 533, and it reads, the ancient name of the land located in what is today the southern half of Iraq in the valleys of the Tigris and Euphrates River. Other names used in antiquity to denote this area are Babylonian and Shinar. One, the name. This region is never called Sumer in the Old Testament. One scholar has proposed that the only remnant of the old name Sumer in the Old Testament is the personal name Shem, one of Noah's sons.
So the name Sumer, which you get the word called Sumerian peoples. Sumer, they changed Shem name to Sumer, and they became the Sumerian peoples. What do Sumerian peoples look like? Now let's go find what the Sumerian look like. The Sumerians, Sumer, is descendants of Shem. That's Shem's name. Shem's name. Good. Now, what do the Sumerian peoples look like, and what are you reading from? What they look like, which is a watered-down word for Shem called a Sumer and the Sumerians. It is the personal name of Shem. What do they look like?
All right. Reading from the Pictorial Volume 5, Bible Dictionary, on page 407, looking up the word Sumer or Sumerian. Read, a origin. The early peoples who migrated into the Tigris-Euphrates Valley called themselves the Black-Headed People.
Ain't that something? So Shem was called the Black-Headed People. Shem produced it. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Jacob is just like his grandfather, the Black-Headed People. Now, Israelites of the Bible is what their grandfather is, the Black-Headed People. That means they have to be depicted that by going and looking at who in the Bible that is black. Let's go and look what it talks about, the sentence of Ham 10:6. What is 10:6? Give me, I need some names, 10:6. What it says in Genesis 10:6. I need a name out of the Bible, 10:6. 10 verse 6, young lion. Genesis 10:6.
All right, we're going to book of Genesis. We're going to read chapter 10, and we're going to pick it up at verse number 6. The book of Genesis, chapter 10, verse 6 reads, and the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mezarim, and Put, and Canaan.
Now, Mezarim is the descendants of Ham, and Ham, that name was changed to Egypt, Egyptians. Now let's go and see, Ham says, what the scholar says the Egyptian looked like according to the according to the Zalman Bible Dictionary. What do the Egyptian look like?
All right. We're going to the
Zondas Bible Dictionary. We're going to get a picture of what does Ham's descendants look like. So in the Zondas Bible Dictionary on page 213, and it reads, Ham, the youngest son of Noah, born probably about 96 years before the flood, and one of the 8 persons to live through the flood. He became the progenitor of the dark race, not the Negro, but the Egyptian.
So the Egyptians, what color people? The Egyptians is dark color people. Come on, mother. Now, Egyptians is dark color people. Let's, Mother E, let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Genesis 2, 1 and 2. Egyptians is dark colored people. We're going to Genesis 2, verse 1 and 2. I mean, Exodus. Thank you, Mother E. Exodus. Exodus 2, 1 and 2.
The book of Exodus, chapter 2. Verse 1 and 2.
Yes. Look at Exodus
2. Verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1. And there went a man of the family of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. Verse 2. And the woman conceived and bare his son. And when she saw him, that he was a godly child, she hid him 3 months.
A goodly child, and she hid him for three months. Yeah, what's the name in verse 11? What was the child's name in verse 11?
Verse 11. And it come to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brothers and looked on their burden. And he spied an Egyptian knitting a Hebrew, one of his brothers.
Uh-huh. Okay, back of the verse 5. Read verse 5 and 6.
Verse 5. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maiden walked along by the river side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maiden to fetch it.
Skip down to verse 10. Skip down to verse 10.
Okay.
Verse 10.
Verse 10. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I draw him out of the water.
Okay, good. So there's 2 Levites, a man and woman Levites. They're from the tribe of Israel. They had a son named, and later called him Moses. They called his name Moses. So Moses come from 2 Levites, one of the sons of Israel. Pick it up, young lion, in verse 16. What happened next? Now, when the child grew up, let's find out what's going on in 16.
Verse 16. The book of Exodus, chapter 2, verse 16 down to verse 19. Verse 16 reads, now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters. They came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. Verse 17. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. Verse 18. And when they came to Reuel,
their father. He said, how is it that you are come to so soon today? Verse 19, they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and also drew water enough for us and water the flock.
And what do the big dignitary, big historical document say the Egyptian look like? What is the Zama Bible dictionary say Egyptian look like?
They say the Egyptians are black, dark skinned people, dark people.
What did the Zama Bible dictionary say they look like?
The Zama Bible dictionary says they are dark races, dark.
They are dark race of people. The Egyptians is a dark race of people. And seven women looked at Moses and said, Moses, a dark race of people just saved us. So Moses, which went to visit his brothers. Now, who was his brothers? Since Moses passed for a dark-skinned man, now, Mother E, who is his brothers in the seventh chapter, verse 22-23 of Acts? Who is Moses' brothers? So Moses passed for an Egyptian dark-skinned people. Now you tell me who in the Vatican City can pass for this? Mr. Coleman pass for this? You think Timothy Dolan can pass for this? Israel, you must be a dark-skinned people. Now he went and visited his brother. Right, let's find who his brothers is, Mother, in Acts 7, 22 and 23 of Acts. Who was his brother?
The book of Acts chapter 7, verse 22 and verse 23. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in word and in deed. Verse 23. And when he was fully 40 years old, it came unto his mind to visit his brothers, the children of Israel.
So who is Moses' brothers, Mother?
The children of Israel.
And what do they look like in Amos 9, verse 7? What they look like? We already know Moses looked like the Egyptian. But what about the whole gaggle of the children of Israel, what they look like? Now, you see what the WCC just did? They said, a young lion, you approve your points here. We're going to cut the young lion off. He's through talking for tonight. See how they roll? So, well, what do the children look like, Mom? Amos 9, verse 7. 9, verse 7. What does the whole 12 tribes of children of Israel look like?
Amos chapter 9, verse 7. Are you not as the children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, said the Yahweh?
Stop right there. The children of Israel is compared to the Ethiopian people. He said, they look like the Ethiopian people. Now, who over there in the Vatican City look like the Ethiopian people that's a member of the children of Israel? Who over the land of Israel call himself Israeli look like the Ethiopian people? What's their name? See that? What book we read out of is the Bible. Moses asked for an Egyptian, dark-skinned people.
Right.
Children of Israel, all 12 tribes passed for looking like those of Ethiopia, which is Cush, firstborn tribe in hand. Now, Paul, Apostle Paul, you go to Vatican City and you see two paintings, two statues. You see one for Peter and one for Paul. Let's see what Paul passed for the 21st chapter, Mother. Let's see what Paul passed for. Do we pass for them statues over there in the Vatican City? Or what body is we reading? The Bible. Let's see what Paul looked like according to the Bible. We're going to Acts 21, Mother.
Okay.
We're going to Acts 21 to see what Paul looked like, according to the Bible. What did the eyewitness that Paul look like? Moses was compared to look like the Egyptian, a dark-skinned race of people, sons of Ham. Now we're going to look at Paul, Apostle Paul. In the Vatican City, he got two pictures up there. They got a picture of Paul and Peter. And they look pale red. What did the eyewitness of Paul look like? Acts 21, 27, 37.
Book of Acts chapter 21, verse 37.
And 38.
Okay. 21, 37, and 38. The book of Acts, chapter 21, verse 37 and verse 38. And as Paul was to be led into the council, he said unto the chief captains, may I speak unto thee? Who said, canst thou speak Greek? 38. Are not thou that Egyptian, which before these days made an uproar and leadeth out unto the wilderness 4,000 men that were murdered?
Okay, Mother. What did the big dignitaries look red at Paul and thought Paul was, according to verse 38?
Egyptian.
Egyptians is dark-skinned people. Paul passed for an Egyptian. Couldn't tell the difference. Couldn't tell the difference. So you see, couldn't tell the difference. Okay. Let's run and see what the angel said about our Lord Jesus Christ, which is Yahweh the Son. What they say about him, 1:14-15 of Revelation. 1:14-15 of Revelation. What it say, Mother? 1:14-15 of Revelation. What do our Lord Jesus Christ say, proper name Yahweh the Son? What he look like?
Okay, the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 14 and verse 15. Verse 14. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. Verse 15. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his
He said he had gray hair, and his eyes, he had red eyes, looked like you have burnt them in a furnace. Now, what color is that? When you burn up some food, what color? When you burn that hog up, and that hog stayed in the oven too long, you burn it up, what color is that? That's what his feet look like.
Okay.
That's what his feet look like. So the one you got there was called our Lord Jesus Christ over there in the Vatican City. Where is the burnt feet set? His feet look like they were burnt in an oven. What it say in 2:18? This is end time prophecy, 2:18. Because he told the people to put it in writing. Ain't nobody going to pick it up but boys of Jerusalem. 2:18, the same Bible. Let's talk about our Lord Jesus Christ. What he looked like in 2:18.
Revelation. Verse 18. And unto the minister spirit of the church in Tyrus, write these things, said the son of Yahweh, who had his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass.
fine brass if the brass was burnt in a furnace. So he had red eyes and burnt feet. And you look at your feet and look at your face, it's interchangeable. Now, it's just a prophet, the seer says in the 10th chapter, verse 5 and 6. Now, Daniel gonna look directly at him, and Daniel gonna write about him in the 10th chapter, verse 5 and 6 of Daniel. What did Daniel say he seen? Daniel 10, verse 5 and 6. What did Daniel see?
Okay, Daniel chapter 10, verse 5 and 6.
Yeah, what did Daniel see?
Daniel chapter 10, verse 5. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of upas. Verse 6, his body also was like the bearer, and his face of the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as a lamp of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color of polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude.
His arms and his feet was as color. He was a color man. His arms and his feet was a color man. He said, I see the color man. His arms were of color, and his feet was of color. See that? Arms and his feet was as color. Now, what about that? Do that picture match the ones in the Vatican City? Is our Lord Jesus Christ with proper name Yahuwah the Son, do he got color feet and color arms? You know what color is. But then you just got through watching the February month and the eyes on the prize and the whole month they showed you about the color fountain and the white fountain. So if he came back in the February month, what fountain would he had to go to? One was a color fountain, and you know in the eyes of the prize, who went to the color fountain and who went to the white fountain. So, Mother, if he came back today, which fountain would he have to go to if he want to drink a water, a color fountain or the white fountain? Which one, Mother E?
The color fountain.
Why? Why do we have to go to the color fountain? Why?
Because we black.
Because he's a color man. Because he's a color man. The pictures you got over in the Vatican City don't match up. Now Mary. Now let's see what Mary was. What about Mary? You know Mary. Let's see what Mary say. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. And look at verse 4, Mother. Then we're going to bring Mother E in and get Mother E to give a comment or a statement or whatever she wants to do from it. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 4.
Okay.
Luke chapter 2, verse 4 and 5.
Luke chapter 2.
Verse 4 and 5.
Luke chapter 2, verse 4 and verse 5. Luke chapter 2, verse 4 reads, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto a city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the family of the lineage of David. Verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his five wife, being great with child.
You see that? So Joseph is from the lineage of David, And he had his wife with him, and she was great with child. Now back up to 139, mother. Now read verse 38 and 39. 38 and 39.
Luke chapter 1, verse 38 and verse 39. Verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Yahweh, be it unto me according to thy word. And the ministering spirit departed from her. 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the healing country with haste unto a city of Judah.
So Mary went back to her home city of Judah. So Mary was the wife of Joseph, and she went back to her homeland, Judah. Jeremiah 14, 2, what Judah looked like. So she went back to her homeland. Let's see if she go to Bosnia, Russia. Let's see where she go. Let's see what Judah looked like. So Mary went back among her own people in the city of Judah. Jeremiah 14, what did Judah look like? Judah 14, verse 2.
Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 2. Judah moaned, and the gates thereof languid. They are black unto the ground. And the
why did Mary go? That's good. That's good. Why did Mary go back to Judah, the black land? Because she was a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
She went back to her homeland where her husband at, which is the city of Judah. Because everybody had to stay in their own tribe. And everybody had to marry from their own tribe. And everybody had their own land. So she from the land of Judah, the land of the black. So Mary and the baby Jesus that you got in the Vatican City is pale red. That is totally wrong. The Bible says you, Mary, went back to a homeland called Judah, where the black people said, why she go there? Because that's where she was. And anytime you get in trouble, you run to Egypt, in dark country, and Yahweh the Son went there called your Lord Jesus Christ. He run to Egypt to hide out. Why did the children of Israel always go to dark lands to hide out? Why did Mary go back to her homeland, Judah? Because that's what they are, dark-skinned peoples. The peoples over there in the Vatican City, pale red, that is total wrong. Wake up, wake up. Get that morphine drip out of your body before it destroys you and everybody come in contact with you. King James come from Zora. Zora had a twin brother called Perez. They followed in Judah. To the ground. Come on, Mother Z. Folks say, come on, Mother Z. Come on, put some good talking. When you meet Mother Z with a loud voice, you said, Mother Z, come on in here and do some good talk there, Mother Z. You on the clock. Come on.
Yahweh bless and keep you, seal Israel, a royal seed. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
I'm going to read in Ezekiel, the 9th chapter, up over the chapter, it says, Yahweh destroyed the washpots. And I'm going to read Ezekiel chapter 9, starting at verse 1. He cried also in my ear with a loud voice, said, curse them that have charge over the city to draw near every man which he destroyed, even every man will he'll destroy her, destroying the washpot in his hand. Destroying the weapons in his hand. Verse 2, and behold, six men came from the way of the high gate with linen which leadeth towards the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand, and one man among them was clothed with linen with a white with writing ink horn by his side, and they were in
and they went
and stood beside the brass altar,
brazen altar.
Verse 3, and the honor of the Yahweh of Israel was gone up from the cherubim. He went to the threshold.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the threshold of the temple, and he called to the men clothed with linen, which had the writing ink horn by his side. Verse 4, and the Yahweh said unto him, go through the middle of the city, through the middle of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the forehead of the men that sight and the cry of all the abomination that be done in the mirror, thereof. Verse 5, and to the other he said in my hand, in my hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite, let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Verse 6, slay early, old and young, both maid and little children, and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark of the mark, and being at my sanctuary, then they be at the ancient man which was before the temple. Verse 7, and he said unto them, defile the temple and fill the corners with the
slain.
Go ye forth, and they went forth and slayed in the city. Verse 8, and it come to pass when they were while they were slaying them, and I were left that I fell upon my face and cried and said, Yahweh, will thou destroy all the residue of Israel in day?
And they poured out fury.
And Israel, and they poured out of the fury upon Jerusalem. And verse 9, then said he unto me, the sins, the iniquity of the temple of Israel and Yada Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is filled of blood, and the city full of perversity. But they said, the Yahweh has forsaken the earth, and the Yahweh see not. Verse 10, and as for me also, my eyes shall not fail, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense the way upon their head. Verse 11, and behold, the men clothed with linen with the which had the acorn by his side reported the matter, saying, I have done as thus has commanded me. And that's the end of the chapter. Hallelujah.
That was excellent, Mother. And we'll sum it up in a closing statement there, Mother, in 18 verse 4 of Revelation. 18 verse 4, and Mother E, a closing statement. We'll catch you all tomorrow at 6 p.m., special edition call Thursday evening. 18 verse 4, Mother E, in a closing statement. Come on.
The book of Revelation, chapter 18, verse 4. Revelation 18, verse 4 reads, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sin, and that you receive not of her plague.
Excellent. Come out of her, my people. Leave that Catholic Church and Christianity alone, for you be partaker of their sin. And you're going to the fire up into that religion. Come on, Mother. So I'm saying, Mother, we'll catch you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Call a special edition call Thursday evening. It's all yours, Mother. Come on.
Thank you and praising Yahweh for the class. Thank you and praising Yahweh for the teachers and for each and every one that's in the class. Thank you and praising Yahweh that you allowed me to be in the class. And I would just like to say to the class, the whole loan, don't give up, or you don't get no forgiveness for starting and stopping. Hallelujah.
The children of Israel look like the Ethiopians. King James came out of the tribe of Judah, Zorah, the twin brother Perez. If you still have a problem with his color, or what do you look like? Because you see the white man. Listen, that's a Christianity morphine drip. That's an elephant in the kitchen you cannot see it. If you trace his lineage back, get out of religion and look at the Bible as is. You'll see King James is a black man from the tribe of Judah. the son of Zorah. Not Perez. We come from Perez. He come from Zorah. But they twin born. They the likeness of themselves. They look red, the dark-skinned people, and painted them white. Like they got Mary, our Lord Jesus Christ. They got white statues of Peter and Paul. They got them all pale. That's wrong. They are dark-skinned people looking like the Ethiopians, the 12 tribes of Israel. Esau was hairy then. If you got any white friends today, look at them, you see the blood run through their skin, and their hair grow in places where that the peoples of Jacob hair don't grow. Their hair grow all over. Hairy peoples today. All you got to do, if you got a good white friend, ask them, do you have to go get hair cut off your back? And see what they say to you. Do you have to get hair cut off your legs? And see what they say to you. Do you have to get hair cut off your face, females? See what they say to you. The worst thing that Esau wants to never happen, the razor blade company go out of business. Because the razor, go on strike. If the razor blade goes on strike, then they have cover them all up everywhere. You won't see them. That is the sentence of Esau. If you don't get it, you ain't going to get it. But if you leave Christianity, Islam, and Judaism alone, you'll see it. But you got to repent. Acts 3:19. You got to repent. And you must call on the name of four letters YHWH and repent. Then he'll open your eyes and take that bag off your eyes so you can see plainly. You see, the Pope is the sinners of Esau. He could never go in Egypt and hide out because his pale red skin will show up. Big Timothy Dolan out of New York, he cannot go into a dark land and hide out. He'll show up. The son, Jesus Christ our Lord, went to dark land. Him, his mother, and the baby, and hid out until the angel said, you come on back now. The people that are seeking your life is dead. Come back in there. You got a war going on now in Russia, Ukraine. They running about the land. Where is they running to? In land that look like them. Nobody's saying in Ukraine, let's go back to Africa and hide out. Nope. They going over to Russia. All types of areas over there and hide out from Putin. Because they blend in with them. They all look alike. Because they're the same people. The descendants of Esau. The pale red peoples. When Jacob's descendants, 12 tribes, got in trouble, they went here into places where they can blend in. Passed for the Egyptians. Paul passed for the Egyptians. Moses passed for Egyptians. Jeroboam passed for the Egyptians. Anytime you read the 28th chapter of Jeremiah, every Israelite, when they got in trouble, they ran to Egypt to hide out. Why'd they do that? If you got in trouble today, where would you go hide out at? Would you go into give me a place? Or would you go hide out around the west, the ghettos on the west side, the ghettos on the south side? If you was hiding out, you go where you can blend in at.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. The children of Israel went around people that had deep, dark color on them, but it can pass mm-hmm. for them until the heat was off of them.
Mm-hmm.
If the Pope and Timothy Dolan got to go hide out, where would they go hide out at? If somebody was looking for them. Or take Donald Trump with them, all three of them. See, y'all got to hide out. Where will they go to? Will they go into the ghettos of New York or Chicago or Mississippi and hide out? Nope. Where they go hide out at? Huh? To Green Inn. Go where you look like it. Thank you, Mother. You go where you look like the people there. Angel told Mary, Joseph, take Mary and the baby Jesus, which is Yahweh's son. Go hide out in Egypt until the people that see you like the dead. Then come back.